Let's now turn from the oil and gas industry to the hard rock mining industry. That term refers to mines that excavate ores as opposed to coal. The industry is currently the leading toxic polluter in the U.S., responsible for nearly half of reported industrial pollution. Of western U.S. rivers, nearly half have sections of their headwaters polluted by mining. In most of the U.S., the hard rock mining industry is now declining towards extinction, largely because of its own misdeeds. The environmental problems caused by hard rock mining are of several types. One involves disturbance of land surface by digging it up. This problem especially affects surface mines and open pit mines, where the ore lies near the surface and is reached by scraping away the earth over it. Further environmental problems involve water pollution by metals themselves, processing chemicals, acid drainage, and sediment. In addition to those types of pollution, the mere consumption of water by many mines is high enough to be significant. The remaining environmental problem concerns where to dump all the dirt and wastes dug up in the course of mining, consisting of four components: the overburden, dirt scraped away to get down to the ore, waste rock found to contain too little mineral to be of economic value, tailings, the ground-up residue of ore after its minerals have been extracted, and the residues of heap leach pads after mineral extraction. Depending on the laws in the particular country where the mine is located, the methods of disposing of tailings involve either dumping them into a river or ocean, piling them up on land, or, most often, piling them up behind a dam. Unfortunately, tailings dams fail in a surprisingly high percentage of cases. On the average around the world each year, there is one big accident involving a tailings dam. The largest such accident in the U.S. was West Virginia's Buffalo Creek disaster of 1972, which killed 125 people. The prevalent policy of mining companies is to clean up and restore the mined area only after the mine is shut down, rather than follow the coal mining industry's practice of reclaiming the area as mining proceeds. The hard rock mining industry opposes that strategy. Companies assume that what is called walkaway restoration will be adequate. That is, that cleanup and restoration will incur minimal costs, will go on for only 2 to 12 years after mine closure, whereupon the company can walk away from the site with no further obligations, and will involve nothing more than resloping of disturbed areas to prevent erosion, applying a growth medium like salvaged topsoil to stimulate revegetation, and treating water flowing out of the mine site for a few years. In reality, this inexpensive walkaway strategy has never sufficed for any major modern mine, and regularly leaves water quality standards violated. The actual direct and indirect costs of cleanup and restoration have typically proved to be 1.5 to 2 times mining industry walkaway estimates for mines without acid drainage, and 10 times those estimates for mines with acid drainage. Hard rock mining companies facing cleanup costs frequently avoid those costs by declaring bankruptcy and transferring their assets to other corporations controlled by the same individuals. As a result, American states and the federal government eventually began to require hard rock mining companies to guarantee that enough money would be available for cleanup and restoration, in case the mining company itself refused or proved financially unable to pay for the cleanup. Unfortunately, those assurance costs are typically based on a cleanup cost estimate made by the mining company itself. In the many cases when mining companies have not cleaned up and the government has been forced to fall back on that assurance, the actual cleanup costs have proved to be up to 100 times the mining company estimate. The assurance is provided in one of three forms: cash equivalents or a letter of credit, the safest form; a bond that the mining company obtains from an insurance company in return for an annual premium; and a self-guarantee, meaning that the mining company pledges in good faith that it will clean up and that its assets stand behind its pledge. However, frequent breaking of such pledges has shown self-guarantees to be meaningless, and they are now no longer accepted for mines on federal land. But they still account for most assurance in Arizona and Nevada, the American states most friendly to the mining industry. U.S. taxpayers currently face a liability of up to $12 billion to clean up and restore hard rock mines. Why is our liability so large when governments have supposedly been requiring financial assurance of cleanup costs? Parts of the difficulty are the just-mentioned ones of costs being underestimated by the mining companies, and the two states with the biggest taxpayer liabilities, Arizona and Nevada, accepting company self-guarantees. Even when an insurance company bond exists, taxpayers faced further costs, for reasons that will be familiar to any of us who have tried to collect from our insurance company for a large loss in a home fire. The insurance company regularly reduces the amount of the bond payoff by what are euphemistically termed negotiations. That is, if you don't like our reduced offer, you may go to the expense of hiring lawyers and waiting 5 years for the courts to resolve the case. Then the insurance company pays out the bond at a negotiated amount only over the years as cleanup and restoration are carried out. But the bond contains no clause for inevitable cost escalations with time. Not surprisingly, there has been a backlash of anti-mining public sentiment in Montana and some other states. The future of hard rock mining in the U.S. is bleak. Since 1995, public opposition in the U.S. has been increasingly successful in blocking mine proposals, and the mining industry can no longer count on lobbyists and friendly legislators to do its bidding. The hard rock mining industry is the prime example of a business whose short-term favoring of its own interests over those of the public proved in the long term self-defeating and have been driving the industry into extinction. This sad outcome is initially surprising. How could the hard rock mining industry have adopted such self-defeating behavior, especially when the oil industry and the coal mining industry, facing apparently similar problems, have not driven themselves towards extinction? The answer had to do with the three sets of factors: economics, mining industry attitudes, and society's attitude.